Yakimakis comes from Greece. When he plays, he scores with ease. He leads the line. He plays up top. Our number nine gift from God.
Yorgos Yakimakis. Only his second season with Atlanta United, but talking to fans outside the stadium before a game, it feels like he's been here for years.
He's like one of my favorite in the MLS.
He's the magician up front.
Relentless, tenacious.
Tank.
Greek god. He scores bangers. Bangers, just bangers only.
Yakimakis! Goal!
Some of your goals will be an entertainment for the fans.
And Yorgos Yakimakis, he knows how important the fans are too.
I mean, they will be entertained anyway that you score and you're winning, but if it's tap-ins all the time, you're not enough. It's not enough.
Big Yorgos on the double tonight!
Gigi is a beast, a villain of Major League Soccer, and an ultimate performer.
He brings a whole new element of physicality for us. It's everything we need.
He gives me, like, emotions.
He's like the heart of our team these days, I think. He just never gives up. You can see his heart's in it.
This is Offside with me, Taylor Twellman. Today, the story behind the man who wears Atlanta United's number 7, who's made such an impression on the fans. In games, Yorgos Yakimakis comes off as a cocky striker, a bruiser who will do anything to score. But there's more to the big man than that, because his heart, his unquenchable desire for goals, and his ego, it didn't come out of nowhere. Yorgos Yakimakis' journey to Atlanta United was shaped by adversity, tenacity, and the fates.
I think in my blood, I was always a striker.
Yorgos comes from a family of soccer players. He's actually the 7th in his family to go pro. His grandfather played in the Greek leagues till he was 40. His father also played in their home country, mostly on the island of Crete.
My father used to be a deadly striker in lower divisions, of course, but he was like top scorer. Always he was scoring many, many goals.
So growing up on Crete, Yorgos lived and breathed football.
Started playing football in my academy in Crete at 4 years old.
As a kid, his favorite players to watch were Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Cristiano Ronaldo. But above all, Chelsea and Montreal FC veteran Didier Drogba.
He was a beast. He was fast. He could press. He could score amazing goals.
Was there something about Didier Drogba's game that you said, you know what, this kind of suits who I am?
He was a beast. He was terrorizing the defenses. He was there for the team.
He's robust, he's tough, he's physical, but he's a clinical finisher as well.
There's one moment that always stuck with Yorgos. It wasn't a highlight goal. It wasn't a game-winning goal. It was how easy Drogba made the game look.
The defender was hanging on him, and he still managed to control the ball with the chest, turn around the player, and shot. Like, I'm like, what, dude, what are you doing? This is not normal. He was grabbing you. He was jumping on you. How you can control the ball with the chest in front of you, turn, and then shot? Like, for me, it was insane. He was a proper beast. He created his legacy out of nowhere. Nobody believed in him at first. But he created everything on his own. The way he was playing, for me, it was incomparable to anyone else.
Yorgos saw himself as that beast, but it took other people some time to catch on, for a while, actually. He was stuck on the second team in the 4th division.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
Till 16 and a half years old, I was a midfielder.
No way. No way. Like a 6?
A 6, a holding 6.
The position on the field that connects the defense to the attack, a workhorse. The 6 is not meant to score, especially not in the 4th division.
And I wasn't even playing. I was benched.
Then Yorgos got his first big break.
We changed the manager in the first team. And the summer we had like a trial, like a training to see how is the second team players. We had a break and he comes to me and said, dude, you're not a holding midfielder. Try to go up front. I went up front. In 10 minutes, I scored 2 goals.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
And he said, from now on, you're going to be with me. I went to the first team. I was the starter on the first team, and I was benched on the second team as a holding midfielder.
Those 10 minutes and two goals changed his life forever. In 18 months, he went from being a benched midfielder on the second team in the fourth division to being a starting forward in Greece's first division. He had gotten his first professional contract, but success did not come easy. What was your biggest takeaway from being a pro?
It was fourth divisions upgrade. So it was a massive step. The moment I was pressed a little bit more on precision, straight away, hamstring. Straight away, like, I'm tired. Straight away, I'm like, I cannot breathe. You know, you're not there yet. You don't have the same fitness when you're fourth division. Nobody asks you to press like crazy. Exactly. Nobody asks you to run like 8 miles.
Nobody asks you to train 5 days in a row.
Exactly, exactly. You're training 4 days. Exactly. 4 days. At first, you're thinking like, I'm going to make it. And then you go on the first training and you think like, oh, dude, I'm not like someone special yet here. They are different level. And then you start questioning yourself, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? And then you make it. And then you feel day by day, year by year, better and better.
Yorgos felt he was improving, ready to hang with the best of the league, but he wasn't getting consistent playing time.
The first 2 years, I was playing some games, you know, here and there, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, maybe starter, and then on the bench, maybe out of the squad in the next one. You know, I didn't have this, I haven't found this stability.
And then the team got a new manager, and this new guy, he believed in Gigi.
He helped me a lot. So I started playing. I played 7-8 games. I had already 4 goals, I think.
And then, just like in those Greek plays, tragedy struck.
I had a knock from behind, broke my ACL. So I had to stay 6 months out.
Yorgos was a young player who hadn't cemented his place on the team. He was afraid he was being tossed to the side before he got a chance to make it big, but that wasn't to be his fate. After the diagnosis, the manager pulled him aside.
And you know what he said to me? You know what? I believe in you. I'm not going to sign any striker. It doesn't matter for me that you're coming from ACL. I know you're going to be okay.
Yorgos rehabbed his knee, and his manager stayed true to his word.
So I started playing since the very first day again. I played the full season. I scored 12 goals.
That comeback season grabbed the attention of some of the country's giants. And in 2017, Yorgos signed a 4-year contract with AEK Athens, one of Greece's big three clubs. It should have been the highlight of a young career, his young career. But Yorgos looks back at that time with pain and regret.
And there starts the big blow. You go to AEK Athens, you expect that, you know what? From now on, my career would be exploded.
Instead, his career languished.
I was really young, to be honest. I didn't have any doubts. I didn't care. I didn't give a fuck. But for AEK Athens, they had no plan for me. That was unacceptable.
Yorgos felt Athens had only signed him to keep him away from other clubs. They weren't playing him. And in his view, they weren't doing anything to help him further his career. And the years were ticking by.
In Greece, it's funny, but it's painful at the same time. Until 25, you're a talent, so you can wait. At 26, you're fucking old. You haven't played yet. What do you want? If he was about to play, you had played. You know what I mean?
Yorgos Yakimakis was 26 years old and still stuck on the bench.
It was a big blow in my career. I lost 4 to 5 years of my development in football. And I would be a totally different player. Maybe I would be softer. But I wouldn't go through a depression because I was depressed.
I think it made you hungrier. Yes or no?
Big time. Big time, yeah. Big time, but you know what? I became hungrier, but what if I was even more capable finding ways to score goals during my game?
Fair point.
What if I would never feel that I doubt on myself? Because there are some times that still now I doubt on myself. And it's not normal. I didn't have it before that. So mentally it really affected me in order to get tougher. But it gave me a lot of shit. And maybe I will never be able to get over it as long as I play football.
While those wounds may never fully heal, in 2020, he got exactly what he needed, a ticket out of Greece. Jorgos landed a contract in the Netherlands with Venlo, a team that played in the Dutch Eredivisie League with story clubs like Ajax and PSV. But Venlo was struggling. They had scored the fewest goals in the league the year before. They needed a striker, and Jorgos delivered.
So if I was in a good day, I could score 3 or 4 goals, or 2 goals, and then if we're lucky, we could score less, and we'll get the 3 points. That was the plan.
In 30 games, the Greek scored 26 goals with headers, flicks, chip shots, bicycle kicks.
Yakumakis.
By the end of the season, he won the Golden Boot.
Oh, Yakumakis! Oh! Deze man is een fenomeen.
It was more like a reaction. It was more like, you motherfuckers, now you're going to see.
But while Jorgos was producing on an individual level, Venlo's defense couldn't keep pace. They conceded 91 goals, finishing second to last in the league, and were relegated to a lower division.
That was an achievement, actually. I mean, you have to try. You have to try to make it happen. It's not normal, eh? You have to try. I mean, it was nice, like scoring 3 goals, conceding 4 every week, like no problem. It was weird.
Turns out, cosmic jokes run in the family.
I asked my dad right before I go to Holland. I said, Dad, how on earth you ended up top scorer and you got relegated? Yeah. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. He said, yeah, but that happened. I don't know how, but that happened. 1 year later, same shit. And my wife comes to me and said, do you remember what you asked your dad last year? I was like, what? He said about the goal scorer and relegation. I was like, yeah, that's true. I mean, God is watching, eh?
But there was a silver lining. All those goals had served another purpose. By the start of the next season, Jorgos had a new contract.
Jorgo, it's great to talk to you. You have signed for Celtic on transfer deadline day. How does it feel to be a Celtic player?
It's really amazing. I'm really excited to...
It was the summer of 2021, and he was headed to Celtic FC, a Champions League team in Glasgow.
It's a massive club, and the fans are making it a massive club. They just breathe for football, nothing else. Nothing else.
Football in Scotland is life.
Paul Dykes hosts the podcast, A Celtic State of Mind.
People in their lifetime can change their religion and their political party, even their wife, but they do not change the football team, right? That's how passionate we are. Everything stops when the kickoff happens at Celtic.
So when he heard his team was getting a new striker, he did what any fan does these days.
You do your research online, don't you? You have a look at their showreels on YouTube. And you think to yourself, you try to compare them perhaps to other players who have been at Celtic. And we weren't disappointed. I mean, what we've seen in these showreels from his time in Dutch football mainly was a big, strong, physical attacker who could hold the ball up.
At the same time, coming from a relegated team is not a big endorsement.
He started with a big pressure, with some doubts on me, and it was normal. We signed a dude that was relegated in Eredivisie.
But Jorgos had pulled himself out of a bad situation after bad situation. And now that he was at Celtic, he wasn't going to miss his shot. And when it came time to pick a number for his jersey, he went with his favorite.
So I said, 7. Yeah, I'll take 7. And they say, you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, dude, what the fuck did I do?
Turns out he had chosen the same number as Celtic legend Henrik Larsson.
In the 80th minute... Alan Thompson's free kick, Henrik Larsson's header. It's finally happened in his last competitive match at Celtic Park. Larsson marks the milestone with one of his trademark goals. It's a great header from the striker.
I'll tell you something, when you come to Celtic, if you take the number 7 jersey, you are brave. You're brave, and I'll tell you why, because it's a heavy, heavy burden. Jimmy Johnston, Jinky, the greatest ever Celt, number 7. They come through to Kenny Dalglish, Henrik Larsson, you know. These are players within Celtic's history that are absolute icons of the game.
But Jorgos didn't back down.
He was a confident player, though, you know, to the point where he had this self-belief. And if you've got the self-belief to wear number 7 for Celtic, you've got to have something about you.
Yorgos had that something.
We got used to him scoring with one touch. He did not need two or three touches to the ball. There was an instinctiveness about him.
And it's been forced in by Yakimakis.
Whenever he played, he had this incredible goal scoring record. You know, when you look at his minutes on the park, in his first season, he scored or created a goal every 86 minutes. That is astonishing. Very quickly became a bit of a fan's favourite.
Yakimakis for Celtic.
Have a very, very sweet taste of our relationship with me, with the fans.
The Celtic's fan base have to be entertained. Now, that goes right back to Jock Stein, the greatest ever manager that Celtic have had. He used to talk about the fact that, you know, these people that go to watch Celtic largely are working class, and they go to the football game to forget their troubles and to enjoy themselves for that couple of hours and to be entertained. And if a player like Yakimakis comes along and gets that, understands that, then, you know, it makes it a lot easier to accept a player like that.
Taylor met the cross, and a brilliant overhead kick from Yakimakis. He loves those, and it's the second overhead in the game for Celtic. It's been so stylish, it's been so classy, it's been so Celtic.
Yakimakis would score a goal, he would take his top off and run behind the goal, swinging his top in, you know, above his head. And the Celtic fans knew that it was just passion. It was absolute, unadulterated passion that he had for the football club. He was a Greek god.
They even had a song. When Paul looks back on Yorgos' time at Celtic, lots of moments stand out.
He scored a couple of hat-tricks for Celtic. He scored a Champions League goal.
Cibanović in, maybe this time. Yakimakis! This place has erupted.
But the one game that I remember more than any, he didn't actually score a goal. Celtic played Rangers.
Celtic and Rangers are rivals, the top two teams in Glasgow, with a history that goes all the way back to the 1880s.
The atmosphere went through the roof. It was unbelievable.
I go inside the dressing room and I thought I was deaf. I swear. I said, Doc, I cannot hear anything.
We were beating Rangers 3-0 at halftime and we absolutely destroyed them. And one of the main reasons for that was the performance of Yakimakis. Yakimakis absolutely terrorised Rangers. He stretched the back line, he was throwing them about. He should have scored a few goals. McGregor in the Rangers goal, I remember saving three really good chances by Yakimakis. He was my man of the match.
That is that. Something of beating Rangers for the first time in over 2 years.
He was a beast. Not with goals and assists, but the little things. Just like his idol, Didier Drogba.
When I think about the big man, I think about that game. And I just think, you know, the difference he made that night was unbelievable.
Yorgos scored 19 goals in 40 appearances for Celtic. He helped the team qualify for Champions League, and they won the Scottish League. And he even won another golden boot in his first year on the team.
He could still be making that difference for Celtic just now. Unfortunately, he flew the nest.
Yorgos loved the fans, but he didn't feel appreciated by management. His minutes were dropping, and while Celtic got him for cheap because Venlo had been relegated, now that he was the top scorer, he asked for more.
Then I said, okay, you know what? Now you have to give me what I deserve. I was waiting, and then they said no.
Paul understands that money is a reality in football, but he believes that's not the full story behind the Greek god leaving Glasgow.
Over the years, we've had a lot of players coming to the club who are what we would call badge kissers. You know, they pretend that they love the club and all this. But as soon as they get a bigger and better deal elsewhere, they're away. I don't think Yakimakis actually wanted to leave us in terms of the football side of things. I think it was because there was maybe an issue with the manager at the end. But in terms of his relationship with the fan base, I think he would struggle to get a Celtic fan who would say a bad word about Giakoumakis. He came, he done exactly what he was here to do. He scored goals. He won his games. You know, we're very fond of Giakoumakis. I don't think we wanted him to leave. If I could say one thing to the big man, it would be, I wish you'd stayed.
Yorgos Giakoumakis didn't stay. It was the end of 2022. He was 28 years old and had played at 8 clubs over a decade and had never truly felt at home in a team. Some might have decided to give up the dream. But Yorgos is a beast, and beast don't give up. Next up, Major League Soccer comes calling. Over 65,000 showed up in Foxborough, Massachusetts to see Messi's magic last weekend, and he delivered another memorable performance. Messi is in! Behind a brace and assist from Lionel Messi, Inter Miami routed the Revs to extend their lead in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, all the way through to Messi, they've done it again! To Suarez!
Oh my word. Stop it!
4-1 Inter Miami! Domination at Gillette!
Meanwhile, the tight Western Conference got a new frontrunner, red-hot Real Salt Lake, and their star striker, Chicho Arango, the only one challenging Messi for MVP.
Arango managing the game the way, slowing it down when necessary. Drop it into those deeper areas. And
this weekend, you can watch both Inter Miami versus the New York Red Bulls and Real Salt Lake versus Sporting Kansas City for free. In fact, you can watch every match for free this weekend with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Also kicking off this weekend, DC United and Philadelphia Union play out this year's first I-95 Derby. The Quakes take on LAFC at Levi's Stadium. And Sunday wraps up with 6 in the West versus 6 in the East, the Colorado Rapids versus New York City. And finally, the nightcap, the Galaxy looking to recapture the top spot in the West against the Seattle Sounders. Watch all the action free this weekend as this season kicks into another gear in only one place, MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. As Yorgos was looking for his next move, something else was happening across the Atlantic. It was January 2023. Atlanta United had just parted ways with their top goal scorer, their franchise player, their face, Joseph Martinez.
Joseph was fantastic for us. This, unfortunately, is something that happens in sports, and you have to try and take the emotion out of it and make a business decision what is best for the franchise going forward.
Carlos Bocanegra is Atlanta's technical director. It was his job to find Joseph's replacement.
A lot of names start coming up. And, when we had heard Yorgos was potentially a possibility, he was kind of in and out at Celtic, not starting all the time. His name shot right to the top of the list. And my guys, you know, they're coming to me like, you got to watch this guy. You got to watch this guy. Look at his runs in the box. Look how he finishes. He doesn't need a lot of touches to score. He would be ideal for us, right?
Carlos knew he had to have Yorgos in Atlanta, but there was a competition from other clubs around the world, like Midtjylland in Denmark, a team that's been in and out of Champions League. When I was talking with Carlos Bocanegra, he said you had so many clubs after you, but you wanted Atlanta. Why?
So I had teams like Midtjylland, and they really valued me and they really wanted me, and maybe it was even the salary was bigger.
But Yorgos had a family now, a little boy and a baby girl, and the cold years in the Netherlands and Scotland had taken their toll on the Greek. Denmark would be even colder.
At the end of the day, I was like, do I want to go there again with this shit weather, maybe worse than Celtic, than Glasgow? And in 1 year and a half in Glasgow, I went out to play in the park with my son one time. One time, that's miserable. I said, dude, you have to think more. Like, now you're a father, right? Football comes and goes. After 5 years, nobody will remember you. But what you have to do is to create memories with your kids, with your family, with your wife, with everyone. They love you and they are there for you. So I said, thank you, but at least I need a normal weather so I can go out with my son. But that was not the main reason, right?
The main reason struck at the heart of Yorgos's issue with all of his former clubs, the feeling of being underappreciated.
Carlos was the only one, the only director that flew to Glasgow just to meet me, and I really appreciated that. They showed me straight away that, you know what, you are really important. We don't care if you're going to be able to sign for us or not. We just want to meet you, nothing else.
And Carlos, he was impressed too.
Meeting with Yorgos in person and just seeing like he is a man and he is mature and he is, you know, he wants to be here and he wants to take that number nine, so to speak, on the field position and take that on his shoulders and be like, I'm ready to roll.
Mature, because he had been through a lot. It was now or never. Yorgos had a fresh start in Atlanta, and he began by picking his favorite number.
The kidman came to me and said, which number do you want? I said, 7. Are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure.
It was deja vu all over again. Joseph Martinez had worn number 7 since the club's first game.
And I said, look, we've got these numbers open. The number 9 number was actually open.
He said, are you sure? Because it's a big pressure. You know, the fans are really have a bond with the former striker here. And I said, this is a former striker. It's not the striker of the team anymore. So I feel no pressure. You give me and don't worry about that. I'm going to be okay.
Yorgos carried that energy to his first press conference in Major League Soccer. It's the first time I remember seeing him.
Well, hello, everyone. First of all, thank you for coming. I'm here to answer your questions.
Carlos tried to temper expectations.
Doug asked a question about it. He's replacing Joseph. Joseph was fantastic for this club. I don't want to put those expectations on Yorgos. He's going to come in and write his own history.
Yorgos answered some questions about himself, but when reporters kept tripping over his name, he couldn't hold himself back.
I can tell my surname is not an easy one for you. Yeah, I hope, you know, if you keep repeating my name with your goals, then you will learn about it.
I remember seeing that and thinking, that's confident. That's arrogant. That's beastly. We need this from our strikers in this league.
I remember I was a bit pissed because everyone was really hard to pronounce my name. I said, okay, you know what? You're going to learn about it. Big mouth, big acting. When someone is trying to adapt on me, I'm like reacting like that. I know I can back up my words.
First impression when Gigi shows up on the training pitch, you are thinking what? What was your first thought?
My first thought was, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
Atlanta's right back, Brooks Lennon.
I have a guy that's coming from a top league, a very good club in Celtic. He scored a lot of goals. He's with his national team in Greece. And you just saw the presence. I mean, he's a big guy. He's got strength. So my first thing was just pure joy because now I have a target man in the box.
From the other end of the field, goalkeeper Brad Guzan could see Yorgos was going to fit right in.
My first impression in training was this guy's, he's got something about him. He knows how to compete. He's played at the highest level and he's going to make us better for sure. There was no hesitation with that whatsoever.
Yorgos got his first start with Atlanta United on March 18, 2023. Now or never, remember? He scored in that first start.
For his new club, Atlanta United, Yakimakis buries it. Welcome to Major League Soccer.
And kept on going.
Yakimakis first to react. Chested by Yakimakis, chips it over Yarbrough for a fourth. He's done it again. Goals in 5 consecutive starts. And one of the hottest players in the league has Mercedes-Benz Stadium alive.
Carlos couldn't be happier his new star had worked out.
He scores with his head. He scores with his left, his right, crashing the box. He scores from, you know, a cutback. He's aggressive. He leads from the front with his pressing and it's just his energy like that. So he's not just standing up there kind of putting his hand up waiting for the goals. He does the rest for the team as well.
And I think Gigi's got that hunger, desire, that selfishness that you want your strikers to have. And it's not a, hey, look at me sort of attitude. It's a, hey, give me the ball because you can count on me. I'm going to put it in the back of the net.
One thing that separates him from a lot of strikers in the league is defensively, he works his butt off. You know, he presses guys. He wins challenges, tackles. And rarely you see that, you know, but Gigi's a guy you got to be checking your shoulder for your center back, because he's going to work his butt off in order to earn his goals. And that's something he does. He earns every goal that he scores.
He's always looking for the next one, the next goal, the next assist, the next win. And that's the sign that you want of a winner. That's somebody you want on your team.
If it wasn't for a hamstring injury that kept him out for weeks, we might be here saying Giakoumakis won his third Golden Boot on a third team in a third league. Instead, he ended three goals shy of the winner, LAFC's Denis Bawanga, with 17 goals. But Yorgos led the league in goals per 90 minutes. In fact, he had a better goal per game ratio than every other player in the top 10.
Almada wide now. Whips it in for Giakoumakis! Big Yorgos on the double tonight!
As the regular season drew to a close in late October, he earned a spot on the shortlist for MLS Newcomer of the Year, the award given to a player who's in his first year in Major League Soccer, but not a rookie. Guess who else fit that description in 2023?
Messi!
I said, okay, they brought Messi. Messi's going to be the newcomer. Doesn't matter if he has one goal. Doesn't matter if he has 20 goals. He's going to be the newcomer because he's Messi. And the worst thing is that I would be okay with that. So I called my dad 3 days ago. I said, Dad, it was too good to be true. He said, yeah, doesn't matter.
He said, yeah, you should have been a defensive midfielder. What do you care?
Luke, what do you mean? You should be a defensive midfielder. Look, you're competing with Messi. You did well, son, but it's okay.
Yorgos in Atlanta had the first round of the playoffs to focus on anyway. They were up against eventual champions, Columbus Crew. And the first game didn't go as planned.
And in these playoffs, they're off and running with a 2-0 win at home. Columbus leads the best of three series.
Early the next morning, Atlanta United staff called Yorgos to review some film. But right away, he knew something was up. One, there were cameras everywhere.
They prepared me, said, look in there, we have a video for you. I'm like, what the fuck?
Two, the video wasn't footage from last night's loss. It was his own highlights from the 2023 season.
Giakoumakis!
Then a familiar face popped up on the screen. One of his best friends from childhood.
Hello, my friend. It's incredible how things do change in life.
They put my friend, his English knowledge is below zero, right?
And he goes, well done, my brother Gigi, for being the newcomer of the year.
I can't believe that my best friend won best new player in the league.
I didn't know what to do. Should I laugh? Should I be serious? Should I be, you know, excited?
And I just can't believe that you did your dream.
Why are you putting him speaking English? He doesn't know.
I'm like, can you go a bit back? Because I think I didn't hear well.
Can you repeat that,
back.
Please?
They repeat it. They repeat it. They go back. They repeat and he goes, well done, my brother Gigi, for being the newcomer of the year.
I've known you since we were 7.
Did I win that?
We grew up together.
Said, yeah.
In the same neighborhood.
I said, holy shit. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Why are you getting emotional every time?
Congratulations, Gigi.
Thank you very much.
I can believe it. One, I voted for him. But two, yeah, Messi was also a newcomer. But the impact that Yorgos made last year for Atlanta United, minute for minute, was something special. Last year's season, it didn't go the way Yorgos and Atlanta United had hoped. Columbus knocked them out in the first round. But 2024 is a new year. They're right in the middle of the pack, just a few games off first place, and Yorgos picked up right where he left off.
Lennon cutting it back. Oh, Santos went down. Giakoumakis! Back atop the Golden Boot table. Giakoumakis again.
Yorgos, Bradley Wright Phillips here. You've had a great start to the season, scoring relentlessly. Is the Golden Boot something you got your eye on?
Every year. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. I'm a striker. It has to be in my mind.
As of now, he's very much in the running, even after missing some games for international break and a knee injury. But it's about more than scoring goals. Jorgos scored in Greece. He scored in Holland and Scotland a lot. But here in Atlanta, it's different. He's got a team, a technical staff, who are there for him, who value him, like teammate Brad Guzan.
Listen, we're all human. We all go through good moments, bad moments. And of course, you can potentially start doubting yourself. And when you've got guys around you that said, hey, gee, we believe in you, man. You're our guy. Go out there, continue to shoot, continue to run guys down. He's fantastic at that. And so he doesn't lose that ability to be ruthless.
What's something about him that only you guys would know, the Atlanta United teammates, and that the listeners and the fans would not know about him?
I think when you look at him, right, you see this big, imposing guy, and you know, you see him in the locker room. My oldest is 9, and you see him in the with the kids, and he's inviting them over and coming to talk to the kids, and you see him with his kids and his family. That's when you know, hey, we've got a good one on our hands in terms of his humility, in terms of his, you know, desire just to be part of the family. That's a huge attribute to someone on the field, because they're able to have that balance between being a fierce competitor and then off the field, a heart of gold.
Brooks Lennon, Gigi's assist machine, also wants people to understand that while Jorgos is a beast on the field, that's not all he is.
So the connection was from the first day that he got here. And off the field, we have a super strong bond, you know, off the field. I think he's probably my best friend on the team. And we spend a lot of time with each other and with each other's families off the field. So it's a bond that goes further than just the pitch.
Jorgos and his wife, Sonia, have 2 children, a girl who's turning 2 this summer and a boy who's almost 3. When he talks about his kids, he's different.
Every time that I score my first goal in the game, I have specific orders from my son how to celebrate.
So the first celebration of every game is dictated by your son?
Yeah. He's obsessed with me. He's obsessed with what I do. He's obsessed with daddy. He's obsessed with scoring goals. He's shooting the ball and then he's going down on the knees, like sliding like that. On the floor. Like, it's crazy. So we have two to three different celebrations, and I'm asking, like, every time before I go from home, I said, daddy's gonna score today. How you want him to celebrate?
So he shows you what you have to do.
Yeah, the one is the aeroplane and the other one is the lion, like, ha.
Remember, Jorgos is part of a football family. His father, his grandfather, his younger brother is playing in Greece currently. He may be a player who has fought through adversity time and time again, a beast that leaves it all on the pitch, but he's also a father, continuing that great Giakoumakis legacy.
My son growing up and living in the house with these trophies, he's gonna, you know, start questioning, like, dad, what was that? What was that? What was that? And then he's gonna make his mind about what was his dad exactly, because there's no chance he's gonna remember who was I as a player.
Yep.
He's really young. So hopefully, in the end of the day, he's gonna feel the same excitement and admiration on myself, and all the positive things that he's thinking right now when he's 20 years old.
Look at what your family did for you, Jorgos. It's the same thing. You're just passing down a family tree.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, it's crazy what life brings.
I mean, that would be the greatest achievement of my whole career. If my son is proud of me, then I don't want anyone else to feel proud of me. No one else.
You can watch Atlanta United play this weekend against Minnesota United in every other MLS game for free, only in one place. MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Offside with Taylor Twellman is a Major League Soccer podcast produced by Apple TV and Rain Delay Media. Our executive producers are Peter Moses and John Yales. This episode was produced by Iggy Monda and edited by Isabel Angel, with production help from Jonah Buchanan. Michael Janot is our engineer. Music was composed by Brian Decker. International clips were sourced from Eredivisie, SPFL, UCL, Europa, Sky Sports, CBS Sports, Premier, and YouTube user KieranCFC67. And I am your host, Taylor Twellman. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts.
I ended up talking to you. Like, insane.
Yeah, I know. You lost. You drew the shortest straw ever.
I lost my way.